In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we're at the midpoint of the fast. The adoration of the precious and life-giving cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think it is important when we read the scriptures to try to distill down what is the message for us. I've told you this many, many times. There's many important messages in our scriptures today. How does it relate to you? Well, this scripture is speaking about, both of them, are speaking about the most important things in life. The Lord says that whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. And why? Because he says immediately then, after that, for whosoever will save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. He's talking about life. Life is precious to us. He's talking about how to save your life here. Now, he doesn't say the gospel doesn't spell things out from A to Z, and so it's like a cookbook. He's presenting us with how we should live. But we have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And how should we live? We should follow him. I've told you before, Christianity is very simple. We were born for greatness. We were born to know God and to be perfect. And the only way to have happiness is to become as God desires for us, because it is the best way to be. Now, because of our condition, it is necessary for us to deny things within ourselves that act against our goals. And this principle really is active in any endeavor. If a person is an athlete, they deny themselves certain foods, they deny themselves rest, they deny themselves comfort because they hurt after they've worked out, because of the goal. If a person desires to be a doctor, they deny themselves sleep. You can go through any discipline. The only way to be successful in this discipline is to deny yourself things that act against it. It's the same way in Christianity. We need to deny the things within ourselves that act against the truth, against the ultimate goal, which is eternal life. Of course, one of the reasons I believe that we don't deny ourselves so well is because we really don't understand what eternal life is. Eternal life is sort of a cartoon for us, sort of like the next life, you know, the going to heaven. Eternal life is what we were born for. Eternal life is to become what we are meant to be. You can only be happy when you are what you are meant to be. It's not possible to be happy unless you are with God. Now, some people see this way of the cross as some sort of terrible, onerous, difficult thing, that it's so hard, I don't want to struggle that hard. And this is to look at it in a way that is completely false. Anything that you want in life, you must struggle for. Anything. So it is the same in Christianity. To become good, you must struggle to be good. To be happy, you must struggle to be happy. Perhaps that sounds like an oxymoron, to struggle to be happy. But it's the truth. Because the only way to happiness is goodness. And it takes some work to be good. Now we have the advantage of that our Lord is the high priest and is a person who was beset with infirmities just like us, as the apostle says. Do you wonder why these two readings are together? I mean, there are readings about the cross that are in the Apostolos, and yet this reading doesn't mention the cross. why is it juxtaposed with this command of our Lord, if you want to have eternal life, deny yourself and follow me? And then even more firm, if you save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, you'll save it. Why is it? Because the Lord is telling us something that appears to be very hard. But He's made it possible for us by living the life that He's told us to live. Everything that He tells us to do, He's already done. And He's made us capable of doing ourselves. Don't be afraid of the Christian life. Don't be afraid of struggle, because with struggle, you fail sometimes, and we don't like to fail, do we? We'd rather not do it at all than fail many times. Not try instead of trying and failing. But the only way that you can become good at something is to try and to fail. No one is good at the first time that they do something. None of us are good at being good until we have many, many, many times struggled. And then we have happiness in our hearts. This no one can take away from us. This is eternal life. To be truly happy, to be truly at peace. The only way to peace is to become good. Now this peace is not obtained by this terrible walking up the mountain, and the mountain just keeps getting bigger and bigger and it never ends. People perceive of Christianity as this way. This is not the truth. The apostle here tells us he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and yet he did not sin. He made us capable of becoming good. Now a person without belief or with weak belief would say, well, you know, this, how can this be? I mean, right after communion I sin. Right after, you know, I mean, I sin almost every moment of every day. Every single time I say I'm not going to do something, I end up doing it. So my own life contradicts this. It takes time to become good. It takes time. It takes effort. And really, is there anything more worthwhile? The apostle asks, or excuse me, our Lord asks, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Be careful about questions in the Scripture. Make sure to answer them. Okay? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul is not a rhetorical question. It is a question that you must answer. You must answer by your actions, by your priorities, by what is important to you and what is not. There are actually two answers to this question. Both of them are equally true. One is that you can't give anything in exchange for your soul. Because we're adopted by grace. It's not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. So we can't give anything in exchange for our soul. And we should understand this truth, and it should make us humble. If we truly understand it, then we won't judge other people. Since we can't give anything in exchange for our soul, neither can anyone else. And to be weak and infirm is the condition of the human race. But the other answer to this question is the one that you must provide now. What can he give in exchange for his soul? Everything. I've just told you he can give nothing, and he can give everything. And this everything that you give is your struggle to be like Christ, to follow Him, to look at Him as the model of your behavior, and to try. And He has guaranteed us that if we try, He will help us. We're not alone. So let us try. Many times we don't try because, well, we don't like to fail. God knows we will fail. That's why He became man, so that He could experience all of our weaknesses. He experienced everything. You can see places where Christ wept in the Scriptures. You can even see places where He would say He was lonely. He said to His disciples at one point, you know, are you going to leave me too? You can see where He was afraid. He was afraid before His passion. Anybody in their right mind would be. And yet He was without sin. So having these things, fear, and having becoming tired and becoming feeling just run down about trying to do things, these are human characteristics that our Lord also had. But He never allowed them to cause Him to sin. And that's what we do. When we are stressed by something, we escape by whatever it is that we use as our drug of choice at the moment, or as our passion of choice at the moment. What's important in life? To have eternal life. Our life here is just but a drop of sand in the desert. Just one grain. Because the rest of eternity, we will have to be living with who we are. It's a difficult thing to believe. It's very hard. It takes work. I've been reading St. John of Kronstadt's diary. He is basically, his diary is where he is preaching to himself over and over and over again. He's telling himself how he should think and how he should believe. And he's telling himself that when there is a lack of faith about the grace of God in something, that this is an attack of the devil. This is someone we revere as a saint, someone who was a great wonder worker and actually had the gift of clairvoyance and working miracles during his lifetime. And yet he struggled with doubt about the grace of God. So you're not alone. The saints struggle with the same things. It's difficult for us to believe because we look at this evidence that we see with our eyes and we believe that it is the reality. The reality is actually something that you can only see after really struggling to see, after being prepared to see. The reality is that we have a high priest who is like us in all ways except sin. And he chose the way of the cross. The way of the cross is, if you want to sum it up in a phrase or a word, it's to deny oneself. But for a purpose. We don't deny ourselves of things because of some sort of phobia or some sort of neurosis. We deny ourselves things which are not practical, which are not positive, which are away from the task that we want to accomplish. Deny ourselves these things. Christianity is not just to avoid pleasure. A great lie. Really, this lie is why, really, in my opinion, the whole Protestant Reformation came about. You know? And this whole idea that you're saved only by belief and not also by your actions. Because it became too onerous to fulfill these commandments to people because they were being presented in such a way that they were impossible. They're not impossible. They're very possible. I've told you before, and I was very proud when my son answered correctly a couple weeks ago, what is the purpose of Great Lent? To change. Not to fast, not to say more prayers, to change. Now, of course, I'm not saying stop fasting or stop praying. But measure your progress in life by, are you changing? Were you formerly pretty angry and now you don't get angry as often? Were you formerly pretty selfish and now there are times when you think of others and not yourself? Did you formerly curse a lot and now you don't curse, or perhaps you only curse when, you know, you lose your mind with anger? Change. Change is within you. Deny the things that are just useless and take on the things that are good. We should have hope. In the middle of the fast now, we have the cross before us, an instrument of torture to many, but a symbol of hope to us. Because the way of the cross is life. So if you're tired in the middle of the fast, I generally get tired, let this Sunday be a time of renewal. You're going to say, all right, I haven't done so well. And when you say, I haven't done so well, don't be let the first words be out of your mouth, well, I haven't fasted that great. Be better to say, if you want to judge how well you've done, say, well, you know, I'm still a really selfish person. I really wanted to learn to be less selfish this Lent. I wanted to learn to be kinder. I wanted to learn not to judge others. So many of us, most of us, when we start to think of our sins, we think of some of the rules of the church and say, well, you know, I didn't fast that well, or really I haven't been saying my prayers that well, or something of that nature. Those are all supports and helps to help us to do what is really important, which is the inner change of a man. Hi, baby. Hi, baby girl. All those things are to help us to become better. Don't be afraid of the way of the cross. It's the only way of life. Deny the things in yourself that you know that don't make you feel good anyway. And do a little bit better today than you did yesterday. That's all God asks of you, is to try to be better. He supplies the ability. He supplies the results. You supply the desire. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to try. And I guess I will close by saying to you, as Philip did to Nathaniel, come and see. Believe that even though it seems impossible, even though sometimes things seem really hard, that if you struggle to deny yourself, you will find perfect peace. Amen.